This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, live from Austin, Texas. We're going to have a very hot match tomorrow night, literally, hopefully figuratively, but definitely literally, as Atlanta United will be on the road to face Austin FC. And when we travel, typically there are many compatriots who join the conversation, and we have a special compatriot for Atlanta Soccer Tonight. This evening, Madison Cruz is in town for the match. What's up?
Oh, I'm excited. I've never been to Austin. I haven't been to Texas either, so this is pretty fun for me. I'm excited.
I have been to Texas. We've been to Houston once, and been to Dallas a couple times.
Yep.
I've never been to Austin, though.
No, this is my first time being in Texas in general. I've never been in Texas before, so I'm very excited. This is fun.
Very cool. This is maybe not the best of times to come to Texas when the high is going to be 105 degrees tomorrow. I think it's actually dropped. I think it's going to be 103 is what I saw in the update.
2 degrees better.
You know? We know kickoff has already been pushed back 30 minutes. It's going to kick at just after 9 o'clock Eastern time. And of course, you can listen on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It'll be John Nelson filling in on pregame this time. He usually does postgame at home, but he will be doing pregame and postgame from the Colony Square studios with Abe Gordon. You've got an assignment. We'll talk about more of it a little bit later, but you have an assignment. That's why you're out here in Austin.
I do. I am on the call for the Atlanta United Unified match that will be happening after the first team match with Joe Freihoffer. So that will be on atlutd.com/live.
Very late night.
Very late night. But you know what? A lot of coffee, a lot of caffeine. That's what is going to be fueling me tomorrow as we get ready for the match.
Yeah, need to find some fuel for the first team as well. This is coming off of a not so great match in Chicago. Came back to get it level at 1-1, forcing a own goal, a good cross from Alexei Maranchuk. It's 1-1, and it kind of feel like Atlanta's got the momentum, and then it gets away from them and they give up a goal late and end up not getting anything out of the match, and a very, very frustrating afternoon at Soldier Field. You got to shake that off quick and get ready to play Austin.
Yeah, you can't let it linger. And I think that's something that Ronnie Dyla said, is that he said it post game after that match, is that you can't feel sorry for ourselves. You can't sit there and, you know, be down on yourself and think about what you could have done better. You could think about it. You take it. You move on and you get ready for this one, because you can't sit there and be sorry for yourself. Not right now, not with everything that is happening. You have to be accountable for the things that happened. You take what happened, you learn from it, you improve from it, and then you move forward and get ready for Austin, because Austin's going to be interesting, especially with the way that they're shaping out. Because I think we talked about this earlier in the week too, like, you know, we thought that Austin be a little bit more offensive in how they've been, but they've been very solid defensively, and yeah, it's been a bit of an issue trying to get the offense going. Kind of, I think the same thing with Atlanta United a little bit. Kind of had an issue getting things going and getting things rolling. I think they found it, but again, they're coming off of a loss as well over the weekend too, so we'll see.
Yeah, penalty kick for Brandon Vasquez. He leads the team with 3 goals. It's a team that hasn't even gotten into double digits in goals scored. They spent a lot of money on the offense. The defense has been the really surprising element for this team. We've known Brad Stuver has been one of the top goalkeepers in the league, but the group in front of him is doing a really good job. I think what's interesting about this is you look at two teams that are both trying to get going. There's not a lot separating the two teams when you look at the numbers, really. What's separating them is the Eastern Conference is far more difficult than the West. Austin does have 5 wins on the season, but they haven't scored that many goals. Their defense has kept them in games, and they're going to try to take advantage of being at home. You know, it hasn't been 100 degrees here, that I don't think, yet this year, so I don't know if the heat really benefits them much either. But the fact that they're at home will definitely help them against an Atlanta United team that we now know is going to be without both starting fullbacks in Pedro Amador and Brooks Lennon, who is out injured.
It's a huge loss, I think, to this side, because we know from talking to Ronnie in media availabilities and everything, we know how this team wants to play, and both Brooks Lennon and Pedro Amador are huge key pieces to that. So you're missing two of them. That takes away a lot of stuff that you can do on the wings, but it could mean a possibility that we see kind of what we saw in the last match too, with more of a Matt Edwards and a Ronald Hernandez stepping up in those moments. But how do they manage it? How do you help get things going forward? Because we know how solid they are defensively. How do they get the attack going? What can they do going forward to help progress the team and get it going? Because you're already going to be dealing with a very difficult side in Austin defensively. How can you break them down? That's going to be the key.
I think the other thing that's going to be a real challenge is the mental state of this team. You know, we've talked about the frustration. We've talked about just the different elements of the mental side of where Atlanta United is right now. And it's not any better now after another loss on the road and after, you know, what felt like a really disappointing draw at home. So what we've talked about for the past few weeks is still valid and maybe even multiplied by these most recent results. I'm really looking to see how they come out of the gates tomorrow night.
You got
to
come in swinging, come in fighting, come in battling, and just be ready and be in the right headspace and be in the right mentality when you go into Austin, because that's going to be huge, because they'll be able to break you down at that point. And it kind of leads into something that you asked Ronnie Dyla this week in media that I thought was really interesting, and kind of how he's been dealing with the change and everything that's kind of fallen down on top of Atlanta United. And here's what you had to say.
It's difficult, but at the end, you know, you can't act. So I'm not an actor, you know. You need to be honest. And if you can't handle the honesty, then we are not good enough. And that's what I say all the time, you know. That's why I mean about the talent, you know. Talent brings you some places, but it doesn't bring you all the way. It's about, and again, the organization, the discipline, the team spirit, you know, that is in the bottom. And if you can't be honest, then it's very difficult to have an effect on each other, because everything you say is you can feel it's not real, and that's one thing, and to be silent is another thing. So I'd rather be the vulgar one and say what I have in my stomach, and then those who choose to be silent, they choose that. We have to get other places then to open up, because you have to get out what you feel. But if you go into yourself, and I call it into your own shell, and protect yourself, or in a protect modus, then we are not at the group. Then we are not a family. No, we are there for each other. We are not there to attack each other. We are there to do each other better. But then you have to also understand that we need to be honest with each other. And when you're honest both ways, then you create relationships. And that's what we want to do. So when you know the way you speak, and it's, of course, you have to do that with respect, but in the end I can't compromise myself. It's not when I do that, and I felt a little bit lately that I've been a little bit
a little bit compromising, and that's never work. You know, we have to be very, very clear what we expect from each other and what's expected on the pitch and off the pitch. That's the one. And I think that was a good talk after the game, but we have many of these talks during the season. And we have that good effect with them as well. But now, of course, we are in a period, especially away, that we are struggling a bit more than at home. We should look at the way we play. And that's natural, of course. Then we have to come together and see positive on the situation and then attack the situation.
Really interesting that Ronnie Dyla used the word compromised in that. And, you know, we've had conversations with him in media, and you've talked to him after games and gotten the emotional, like, raw reaction. I've talked to him as well. And it's an interesting way to phrase it in terms of compromising himself. You know, we've watched, I think, Ronnie try to do everything possible to get the best out of this group. And that's a sign of a good coach. You know, it is a balancing act between conceding how you want to play to try to meet the players halfway, or the way that you think working and training gets the best out of the players. It's a balancing act, because to be a top coach in this league and to be a top coach in the world like Ronnie Dyla is, you've got to have strong principles, strong ideals of how you want your teams to play and work. And in the early stages with a new group, you've got to try to find common ground. And that is always a difficult thing to juggle. Throw in the injuries that Atlanta United's had, and throw in the different, you know, inconsistencies, whether we're talking lineup, whether we're talking form, whether we're talking, you know, just individual performances in games, game to game. That's a lot to juggle. And it's just fascinating to me to hear a manager be so open to talk about that process and to use the word compromised. You know, some will look at that as a negative connotation. I think it's just a real connotation of he wants to get back to how he knows this team can play, how he believes the game should be played, and he wants to see this team reflect that. And so far, I don't think they have fully.
It's kind of like when you first meet a couple people, maybe you try to like change your personality or try to tame it down a little bit when you're first meeting somebody. Yep. And then once you get to know them, then things start to come out more. Then you get to know them better personally. Now you know each other pretty well. Like, it's something like that. You know, it's figuring out how this team moves. What makes the person tick? What doesn't make them tick? How can I push them further? How do I be there for them when they need me the most? That's what they're still figuring out. And it's not just one fix fixes it all. It's a figuring out of like, where does this piece go? Does this piece fit here? Does it fit somewhere else? Does it not even fit in the picture? Do I have to just take it out completely? You're figuring it out. And I think that's what Ronnie's doing with this team. You're figuring out the players and what makes them go. You're figuring out, you know, how the coaching staff can get their philosophy and how they want to play looking the best it can be out on the pitch. That's what you're trying to figure out. And it's not going to fix it all self in one night.
No.
But I think you're seeing just, okay, how can we get back to where we want to play? And how can we be the way Atlanta United wants to play?
Yeah, and I think you have to remember too, and this is a really important factor in this. You know, one, and Ronnie's mentioned it, you haven't had the starting back line together hardly at all this season, whether we're talking preseason because you were missing Brooks during preseason, you missed Amador during a lot of preseason. Steven Gregerson has had injuries that he's battled. Derek Williams has had injuries that he's battled. So to have those four together in the 4-3-3 that we saw this team start in, you really haven't had it, hardly at all. Then the other element that I think has been completely forgotten during this early portion of the season, you added Miguel Almiron late in the camp down in Florida in preseason. He got a little bit of time with the group. Latte Lott didn't play with the first choice group at all in preseason. He came very late. Basically said hello in Florida, came back, played with the second group for a very short period of time in the last preseason game against Dallas the week before the opener. So not just on the field with those two, but when you're talking about two guys and the expenditure for both of them, the expectations for both of them, the pressure that both of them feel, the big personalities that they have to be in this group, they didn't get any time to mesh, and Ronnie didn't get time to mesh with them, and the rest of the team didn't get time to mesh with them, because two guys like that change the dynamic. So these are all things that you've had to figure out on the fly. And I think we've seen fits and starts. We've seen some good things. We've seen more bad than good as of late, where it's been more difficult. But you hope that over time, and trying to figure out in the short term, how can you be a little more competitive? And maybe that's the 3-4-2-1 that we saw against Chicago. You have to find a way to continue to blend everything together on the fly.
Because it's about being consistent, and that's something that was said all throughout this week. Last week after the post game in Chicago was consistency, and how it's been inconsistent, and how it needs to start being more consistent. And, you know, the game of soccer, it's the beauty of it all is that sometimes you never have a match that's exactly like the last one. You'll have some players who are in it, some players who maybe have to step out due to, you know, they're tired, they got fatigue, or they're injured. Like, it happens. You're never not going to avoid that. But it's how can we get this group cohesionally working together when those things do happen, and keep it consistent within those obstacles, within those things that will happen in the game. It's how do you keep those things consistent? How do you keep those steps going the way you want them to go? And how do you not have it be like taking one step forward, three steps back?
Yeah, and I think in Chicago, we saw that happen in the game itself, where you would see good things on the ball and on the break and in transition. And then you would see things like not tracking back defensively and not stepping up high enough to press. And the things that were working weren't always working. And think back to earlier in the season when Ronnie would talked about that, how first halves playing exactly like he wanted, everything he wanted. They're doing everything he wants. They're switching the point of attack. It's all good. And then they stop doing what was working. That's something that has to change. And if it doesn't with the personnel, and look, right now, you've got to change personnel because you've got injuries and you're playing a lot of games in a short period of time. But if it doesn't work with the personnel that you think is first choice, you need to have the personnel before the summer transfer window opens that can do the job consistently. Because if you can't be consistent, you can't plan for anything and you can't be successful.
And I think another thing to even on top of it all, it's really, I love having the conversation because I think it needs to be talked about more, is the mental side of the game.
Yeah.
And I think because of the stretch and everything else, like, it's weighing on this team. It can't not weigh on this team. And you see it weigh on this team. And I said it after the post game, after Ronald Hernandez spoke to the media. Yeah. I said, I'm like, if you don't sit there and say that this team doesn't care, this team does care. And it's just, it's trying to get over that hump. It's when you, like, almost, I think of it like writer's block. Like, when you have a moment where you're trying to write something and you just get stuck and you just cannot write, and you're like, what can I do to get out of it? Once you find that solution and you get over that, then everything comes easy. And I don't know what that is, but once it is found, things are going to start opening up a lot more, I think, for this team. And this team is going to find it no matter what way it's going to happen. They're going to claw. They're going to fight. They're going to battle to figure out what they need to do to get over this block.
Yeah. Or as Ronnie said, that there's consequences. And that's the nature of the professional business, whether that's, you know, new players coming in, some players moving out, whether that's other changes like that. That's happened. We've seen it here before. It's part of the process. Hopefully this group can find it before that summer transfer window, or tough decisions have to get made. Coming up next, we'll talk about the summer transfer window a little bit. It's kind of different this summer because you have the Club World Cup that mixes into it. We're going to get you caught up on everything going on related to the Club World Cup. It's about a month away, the first game in Atlanta with Chelsea against somebody. We'll talk about all of that on the other side of the break. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app alongside Madison Cruz. I'm Jason Longshore. Let's get caught up on the Club World Cup. It's interesting. It's just over a month away. It's a brand new tournament in this format, and there's been a wide swath of opinions on it. Some good, some bad. It depends on where you are in the world, honestly. It's a tournament that I'm actually getting really excited for. I look at the second day of the I look at the first day of the tournament. Inter Miami and Al Ahly from Egypt, I think, is going to be a very interesting match. Every game that Miami plays in this, because of Lionel Messi's presence, is going to be an interesting match. And Miami's not playing very well right now at the moment. They got to figure that out. But day two, you've got PSG and Atleti. Like, that could have been a Champions League semifinal or final if Atleti hadn't potentially gotten screwed over on the double touch penalty from Julian Alvarez.
I don't want to talk about it.
There's talk of that being doctored, the video that UEFA put out. Like, that's out there.
Oh, wow. Okay, interesting.
Don't even talk about referees in this country without comparing them to how Spain is, where you've got clubs putting videos out when referees are assigned of all the times they made calls that the club didn't like. It's craziness. But you've got that in game two. And then day three of the tournament is when it comes to Atlanta. Chelsea will be hosting either LAFC or Club America. Now, Club America is in the semifinals of the Liga in Liga MX. So they can't really set up a date for that playoff game yet, because you don't know if they're going to be all the way into the final of the Liga MX competition. But that game, just to put it into some context, that game is going to be worth about $10 million. Now, it's not another game we're going to talk about in the 3-4-3, which is worth a whole lot more. But in terms of a MLS team and the amount of prize money they could win, because teams get a minimum for being in the Club World Cup, it's the most lucrative game an MLS team has ever played. A lot of pressure on LAFC. They're hosting, but I kind of feel like they might be the underdog.
I agree with you. I think just from seeing the way Club America has played, I like the way that they play. I really enjoy whenever I get the chance to watch them. I mean, obviously, and every time they come to Atlanta, I always get very excited. I love the culture and the supporter groups they have over there. I think that LAFC would be the underdog, because they haven't impressed me this season. I haven't seen like the spark from them.
Yeah,
I feel like you're kind of seeing it and like flickers a little recently.
Yeah, it's been better lately since they got knocked out of CONCACAF.
Yeah, like now I feel like maybe and that's the shift. Maybe it's the focus, the shift. Maybe that's the focus now. Maybe they're like, okay, hey, like we're done with that. Let's focus on the regular season. And maybe that's what it is. But I feel like you're seeing them get a little bit better. I'm curious if that stays when it comes to that matchup and how they fare against Club America, and what are they going to do? Because there's a lot at stake in that matchup as well. Not only getting into the Club World Cup, but also, again, like you said, the minimum, like getting that, it's going to be
just the minimum amount of money.
Just the minimum amount of money to do it. Like, that's going to be huge. And I think it's going to be great for MLS. I think it's great for LAFC. It's going to be great for Club America. It's a matchup that I don't think initially I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, if I'm like, I was like, ah, it's a play-in match, nothing crazy. Now, like, I think I'm very excited to see where it's going to go.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I think it's going to have a ton of pressure to it. I mean, it's a play-in game. So, like, it's going to be a big deal in that. I can't wait to see just how that one feels. I can't wait to see how the Seattle Sounders do in this tournament as well. We talked about Inter-Miami. They're going to get all the attention because of Messi. Seattle's in the group of death. They're in that group with PSG and Atleti. Brian Schmetzer talked to FIFA here recently about kind of where they sit and how they're preparing for it. And here's what Brian had to say.
Our goal is to be competitive. We want to be competitive in every tournament or competition that we enter. We understand the realities, the challenges of our group. We certainly understand that, but that's not going to deter us from trying to put our best foot forward. And look, if we could score a goal, that would be a success. If we could win a game or get a result, that certainly would be a success. But it's also showcasing some of our players. We have a lot of good young players, and maybe, you know, Obed has a good game and there's an opportunity for him to shine at, you know, maybe in Spain for Atletico.
Yeah, I mean, this is a situation where they are going to be looking at guys like Obed Vargas and some of the other young players for Seattle. Their first game's against Botafogo, and Botafogo kind of brings us to part of the silly season of Club World Cup, because there's going to be, for a lot of teams, a very short transfer window for teams to make additions ahead of the tournament and bring guys in. You've got some really interesting situations, like Thiago Almada, our old friend. He is on a Botafogo contract on loan to Lyon, who's not in the tournament. But they have the same ownership. Botafogo won the Copa Libertadores with Thiago, and John Textor, the owner, wants to bring Thiago Almada, according to Brazilian reports, back to Botafogo for the tournament. Well, Thiago hasn't had a break in a long time. The last time Thiago Almada had any semblance of a break was after getting knocked out of the playoffs in 2023 in Columbus.
Jeez.
Because
Jesus.
He played the 2024 first half of the season, then left Atlanta, went to the Olympics with Argentina, then went straight to Brazil with Botafogo, played all the way through the Copa Libertadores, played in the Intercontinental Cup, then had like a couple of weeks off, if that, and then went to Lyon. So, and played for them. So Thiago's like, bro, I need a break. So, and it's a weird situation because there's also talk like Lyon can't bring him in on a permanent because they have a transfer ban. John Textor's teams collectively are losing money in a big, big way. So this is all kinds of chaos. And I don't know if Thiago Almada is going to be back with Botafogo or not, or how all this works. But that's just one of these subplots. Guys, like in that situation, you've got a guy like Trent Alexander-Arnold. Gets booed by Liverpool fans, which I did not like, by the way. I might be in the minority. He'd been with the club for 20 years, joining them as a kid. And they did not sign him to a new deal. Yeah, he said no to whatever offers were on the table, too. And he's going to go to Real Madrid. But his last game at Anfield, they booed him. That didn't feel right to me.
I don't like that. I don't, especially for a player that's been there for however long they have been, and a homegrown. And I don't like that. I also like, especially too, because it's also too, like, he was given contracts and he didn't like them. Like, he's been there for a long time. I think he has some credibility to say, hey, I don't like this. I want something different. And if the club wasn't going to give it to him and Real Madrid was, then I'm going to go to Real Madrid.
Yeah, I mean, it's Real Madrid, you know, and now they want to get him in before the Club World Cup. Because guys who are leaving their current clubs on a free transfer, their contracts run out June 30th, which is in the middle of the tournament, essentially like after the group stage. So Real Madrid wants Trent Alexander-Arnold in to start the tournament a couple weeks early, probably a whole month early to get him in and train a little bit before the tournament starts. They're, sounds like, willing to pay at least $1 million to get one more month of Trent Alexander-Arnold for this tournament. Tell me the tournament doesn't mean anything when you got Real Madrid cutting a $1 million check.
Oh yeah, it's you're not only of that, you have, you know, all those moving pieces with bringing players in. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was released that FIFA, there is going to be some extension, especially with the transfer stuff during this time, to allow for stuff like that to happen.
You've got a short-term window ahead of the tournament.
Yeah.
So that's going to be chaotic in and of itself, because even teams not in the tournament are going to be doing business in that window.
Absolutely. And that's also going to create chaos. You're going to have trying to get players in so that they can get there for a couple, like a month before, that way they can start training. You're also dealing with coaches and trying to figure out where some of these coaches are going to land too, because a lot of clubs who are in the Club World Cup are looking for head coaches right now.
Yeah, we got three coaches on the carousel that we'll talk about. A couple of them, at least one of them, has gotten off the carousel. He's good now, and he's going to be there for the Club World Cup. But I think Real Madrid's a really interesting element of this in terms of what the Club World Cup means. This is a team that is not going to win La Liga. This is a team that got knocked out of Champions League. They lost the Supercopa in Spain. It's been a bad year, to the point that Carlo Ancelotti is leaving and they're bringing in Xabi Alonso, and he will be there in time for the Club World Cup, according to Spanish reports. But you talk about who takes this tournament seriously. They're ones who will, because it's a chance for them to say, you know what? We're going to end this season and start the next one on a high. This matters to us. This is a club that is all about winning trophies. PSG or Inter, whoever wins the Champions League, okay, maybe they're not as up for the Club World Cup. The one who loses it might be. And Inter is trying to get some defenders to beef up their back line a little bit before the tournament. Eric Dier at Bayern, he's the opposite situation of Trent Alexander-Arnold, according to German reports. He's leaving Bayern Munich to go to Monaco on a free transfer when his contract is up. Well, Bayern's got a ton of injuries at center back. So they're like, bro, can you stick around for another month, possibly, and help us out? So they might do a short-term contract with him to stay, even though they didn't want to sign him to a long-term deal. How awkward is that?
That's so crazy. Only in this window, with all the craziness happening, you would see something like that, which is just, it's wild. It's going to get, I think, even more wild as we get even closer to the tournament.
Lucas Vasquez could be in that same situation with Real Madrid. Looks like he's going to leave, but could stick around for the tournament. Jonathan Tah is one to watch, leaving Leverkusen on a free transfer. Could be headed to Bayern. Madrid was linked with him for a long time, but it looks like he's going to go to Bayern, and we'll have to see if they can get him into the fold before Club World Cup. You mentioned managers, though, and I want to bounce down to an area of the world that has taken this tournament very, very seriously, South America. The South American clubs, when you talk Intercontinental Cup, you talk previous iterations of Club World Cups, it's always meant a little bit more to the South Americans, because I think in general, the game has moved from a commercial and from a media standpoint to Europe. Whereas 50 years ago, it was kind of split. And the world was a much bigger place then, so you didn't really hear as much about the South American teams, and then they'd pop up and they were really good. I mean, Pelé stayed in South America his whole career. Stuff like that. Now the South Americans have a chip on their shoulder whenever you get into these kinds of situations with the clubs. So Boca Juniors is one, for example, who didn't even make it to the Copa Libertadores group stages. So this is a huge deal for them. They fired Fernando Gago after the loss to River Plate in the Superclásico in Argentina. They are linked to Gabriel Milito, who took Atlético Mineiro to the Copa Libertadores final, who is a very attack-minded coach, did a great job with Argentinos Juniors. It's not done yet, and an old friend of ours has been linked in the Argentine media to Boca Juniors, Tata Martino, who is a free agent out there on the coaching side.
That one will be interesting, because obviously when he stepped away, taking some personal time as well, as he should, you have to take a mental break sometimes and, you know, get things going, be with the family, chill, you know, read a book, play golf. And I just say golf.
I don't know if Tata plays golf.
A lot of people play golf. That's just why I said it.
I like to play golf. I need to go play some more golf.
But I think it's interesting, especially Tata Martino getting back into the coaching side of things. And that one will be very interesting if it plays out.
We'll see. I don't know if he'll take Boca. He won't take River because it's not available to him. Marcelo Gallardo is there. I don't know if he would want to go to Boca. Like, Argentina, with the rivalries between clubs, it's complicated, and he's a Rosario guy, so he's a Newell's Old Boys guy. They're kind of neutral when it comes to the Buenos Aires heavyweights of Boca and River. maybe it wouldn't matter too much. But I could also see him just saying, you know what, I don't want to deal with either one of you. If Newell's was in it, then sure, I would go help Newell's out. Tata Martino's name's going to come up in more places just because of his stature. It's just going to happen.
Absolutely. I mean, it's Tata Martino with what he's been able to do on the coaching side for years. He's a coach that you definitely want to look into. If you're looking and saying, oh, I want a head coach, especially before big tournaments, before other things too, like the first person you're looking at is Tata Martino.
So Monterrey, they fired Martin De Michelis after they were knocked out of the Liguilla in Liga MX. They're in the market. Today, NA had a report this morning of five different names that were on the list. One of them has already been crossed off the list. The list is moving fast when it comes to Monterrey. Matias Almeida off the list already. They like Gabriel Milito as well at Monterrey. Dome Torrent, formerly of NYC, formerly Pep Guardiola's assistant with Barcelona and Manchester City, he's linked, but it looks like Chivas de Guadalajara might come in and swoop up Dome. Hernan Crespo, who we had the chance to talk to here recently at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, he is linked, as is current Estudiantes manager Eduardo Dominguez. So Monterrey looking international, and a lot of Argentines for their next manager, and they're trying to get that done now as they're out of the playoffs. They're trying to get that done for Club World Cup.
You thought the transfer window for players was crazy. We're in the transfer window for head coaches right now.
Yeah, I mean, Xabi Alonso is a fascinating one. Like, there had been all the talk out of Germany that he wanted the summer off. He didn't want to go to Real Madrid and do Club World Cup. He wanted to take a break and then come in fresh. Well, it sounds like that's not going to happen. They're going to bring him in for Club World Cup, it seems like, and then he will replace Carlo Ancelotti, who's going to Brazil with the national team. We'll talk about that in the 3-4-3. Couple more things really quickly. If Club World Cup and you're like, wait a minute, what have these people been talking about for 15 minutes? It's 32 teams from all over the world, and the action starts, as I mentioned, with Miami and Al Ahly on Saturday, June 14th. There's going to be six games in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, three in the group stage. Chelsea on June 16th will play the winner of that Club America LAFC match. Lionel Messi and Miami will come up to Atlanta and play Porto on June 19th, which is a sneaky good game because Miami could get out of that group, especially if they get a result against Porto in that one. And then Manchester City will play Al Ain from Abu Dhabi. That is on June 22nd. Then knockout round games on June 29th, July 1st, and July 5th. The final is going to be on July 13th at MetLife Stadium in New York / New Jersey. So a really fun tournament, and I think what is really starting to stand out to me is this is a tournament that will continue to grow in interest, I think, especially as you get to the knockout rounds and some of the matchups that we could see. But I think internationally, this is a bigger deal than you might think. As the European seasons wind down now, I think teams will take this a little more seriously and be talking about it more and all the preparation for it. You can still get tickets at FIFA.com/tickets. There's also hospitality packages, and there are packages that do include the opportunities to get your tickets for next summer with the World Cup. Go to FIFA.com/hospitality. But coming up next, it's the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, three things that make us smile about the game that we love so much. Coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. It's time for the 3-4-3 brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. I'm Jason Longshore alongside Madison Cruz for a special Atlanta Soccer Tonight live from Austin, Texas, as we get ready for Atlanta United and Austin FC tomorrow night. Kickoff, if you missed it, is going to be at 9:10. Pregame coverage, as of now, because that kickoff time could move back further, pregame coverage is set for 7:30 with John Nelson and Abe Gordon on the station and on the Odyssey app. So you guys who listen to the show know how this works by now. It's three local stories. It's four headlines. It's three things that make us smile about the game that we love so much. Let's start on the local side. A club that we know very well, a foundation that I know very well, the Southern Crescent Soccer Foundation and the Georgia Revolution, which has an academy in Henry County, is building a mini pitch in McDonough. And I've seen some pictures. Things are moving. Things are moving pretty quick on that. Well, they're also moving. They're pretty busy. They have achieved a partnership with the city of Stockbridge for a project to build two new full-sized fields. Now, I can speak pretty strongly to Stockbridge, because that's where I lived when I was in high school. That's where my parents lived. There were not many fields in Stockbridge at that time. And talking to Eric Morrison and everybody at Georgia Revolution at the Southern Crescent Soccer Foundation, the full-sized fields that they want to build in conjunction with the city of Stockbridge, when I say full-sized, I mean full-sized. He wants these to be FIFA-sized fields for, you know, potentially international matches, potentially college matches, potentially high-level high school matches, potentially, you know, Atlanta United Academy coming down to visit. So really cool, very potentially transformative things for the city of Stockbridge, and more fields for kids to play and adults to play.
I love it, because I think you're expanding the game a lot more, especially, I think, down in that area too as well. I think you're seeing soccer explode, and I think this project in particular is also going to help it continue to explode and continue to get more people being aware of Georgia Revolution, of everything going on down there in Stockbridge. I think it's going to be a really cool project. I'm excited to see how it all comes together.
Number two on the local side, part of the explosion of soccer in Georgia, the state championships at the high school level are this week. Three different sites in Macon, at Mercer University, at McEachern High School, and at Duluth High School. When we get back from Austin, we're going straight into high school state championship duty on the 4A and 5A side in Duluth on Thursday and Friday nights. But you've had a chance to see high school games all over the state. You talk about explosion. I think the high school level is where we see it the most.
I think this year in particular, because doing stuff with the SDH network, I think last year too, I think this year has been the most competitive I've ever seen it, ever. And this even like back when I was in high school too. Like, I mean, I think this season, they're not to mention that, you know, my alma mater got knocked out, but it's okay. We're not going to talk about it.
Too.
It's fine. It's fine.
Mine
we're going to talk
too.
About it. But no, I mean, I think it just shows the competitiveness between every single team now, between all different regions too. You're seeing so much. And I love it. I love that you're seeing the explosion. I think at the high school level in particular, because I think it's a level that is really needed in developing a player, because, you know, you have academies and I think that is great as well. But I think we look past high school and college because it builds the foundation of being in atmospheres. I mean, I think back to Dalton, like that's the first experience that some of these kids are going to have that's going to help them if they continue to try to be a professional, to play in an environment like that. That's huge.
Yeah,
that's so huge. Yeah. And I love it.
I argue all the time. There are some players, and I think with Atlanta United's academy, for example, there's players who are getting opportunities to train with Atlanta United too, playing as amateur, as academy players with Atlanta United too. Cool, skip the high school process. There are others who are either on that borderline or not going to get that opportunity. They're great young players. They're going to have great college careers, but they're not going to be in the mix for the pro opportunities as a teenager. Go play in high school. And there should be nothing blocking that. And I know there's a lot of push and pull with MLS Next and with ECNL and all the different academies and high school. The experience in high school is so, so important. You get to play in front of big crowds. You have to deal with pressure in a different way. Players go into these high school teams and they have to be leaders. They have to understand hierarchy with freshmen versus seniors, like all the different things that are so important to being a really top player. I think really being a top person as well. High school teaches that. So we're huge supporters of the high school game. If you get a chance, go out to the sites. You can watch on the NFHS network as well. Number three, we're also huge supporters of Atlanta United too. They are back at home Sunday night hosting Crown Legacy 7:30 in Kennesaw. Go check MLS Next Pro's website at mlsnextpro.com and you can see a short feature with Steve Cook and with Cooper Sanchez, two people that we are very excited to see on Sunday night.
I always love when the twos happen. It's only fitting that we would get a twos match on Sunday after the chaotic week that we're going to have as well. But hey, you know what? Who doesn't love more soccer in 1 week? I think I would be very upset if I only had one game to look forward to throughout the week. You know, you have Atlanta United, you have Unified, then you have high school, and now you got the twos, and I love it. And I think it's a fun one because they're coming off of a hiatus a little bit, about like a week, 2 weeks. And so we get the chance to see them back again in a Southeastern rivalry in Crown Legacy. It's a great way to come back to the proving ground. And I think just from chatting with this group, I really love just how immediately it all clicked and came together. And I agree with a lot of them too, in that I feel like some of the results, you know, haven't really felt the way that we've seen this team perform either. And I think all it takes is one moment and we're going to see this team really, really spark. And I think it could be on Sunday against Crown Legacy.
Later this week, you're going to get to learn a little bit more about Salvatore Masafero and about Nick Sesek on the SDH network. So stay tuned for that. All right, let's bounce over to headlines from around the world. Number one, El Clasico in Spain. Barcelona has had the most insane set of matches in the last week and a half. The whole semifinal with Inter, that was, I mean, just some of the craziest soccer that I've seen in a long time. And then they somehow topped it in El Clasico, where they were behind 2-0 in 14 minutes. Kylian Mbappe scored twice. Then they were up 20 minutes after they were down 2-0. They were up 3-2. They scored again before halftime to lead 4-2 after being down 2-0. And then Mbappe completed his hat trick in the second half, and it wasn't enough. There was controversy. There was chaos. There were all kinds of things. Lamine Yamal was brilliant. Rafinha was brilliant. And Barcelona pretty much sealed up La Liga with a 4-3 win that gave a lot of people heart attacks.
this one was funny because I think for me, like, I always love watching both of these teams play. So whenever they do, I'm sat. But I was kind of like casually listening in a little bit, like here and there. And then it got to a point where I was just like glued because I think I looked up for a second. It was 1-0. I was like, oh, okay, fair. Early on, whatever. I see it be 2-0 immediately. And I'm like, oh, God, okay. This is going to be crazy. And then it just continued. And then you had Barcelona who just kept coming back into it and then ended up dominating at the very end. It's always fun when you get an El Clasico moment.
You got a moment too in the playoff semifinal in England. It's our number two headline. Sunderland scored with basically the last shot of the game to win that playoff semifinal against Coventry in extra time. It was headed to penalties. Sunderland struggled on the night. They're showing people in the stands, and people look stressed. They look disappointed. Coventry had an amazing year coming back from a bad season last year to get to this point. Looked like they were going to go to Wembley to have a chance to be in the most lucrative game to get into the Premier League in the world every year. But Sunderland, with the most awkward of headers, found a way to win this thing.
The volume and the electricity, I think, just from that goal was, I could feel it through my phone screen. It was, yeah, it was electric, and it's so cool for Sunderland. And, you know, it makes me root for them in the final a little bit, especially just from the reaction. I always love when we get to see not only the reaction from the fans, but from the players too, and just them celebrating with the fans too, and have it being this collective. And I love that.
Well, I know you're a different kind of Newcastle fan too. There's a lot of old school Newcastle fans who do not want to see Sunderland do well, because that is a pretty good rivalry.
Yes, it is.
And we haven't seen it in the Premier League in a while. No. So I'm for it, because I'm kind of neutral when it comes to those two. So I'm for it. I want to see some good
entertainment. See, now, right now from afar, it's great. If they come to the Premier League, then it's a different story. Then it's a, all right, we're Newcastle. Like that ain't flying with me. No.
Okay, fair enough. Number three on the headlines, Carlo Ancelotti, we spoke about earlier. The deal is done for him to go to Brazil and be in place for their June World Cup qualifiers. He's got to go in, and I was reading through some of the reports this morning as things became finalized. Brazil, under their previous manager, Chichi, he was there through the 2022 World Cup, started in 2016. In like 80-something games, they gave up 30 goals. They were a very good defensive team, which is not always typical for Brazil. Since the end of that World Cup in 2022 to now, Brazil has given up more goals in a year and a half than Chichi gave up in 6 years. Defense is a huge problem. Now, Carlo, typically, that's one of the first things that he affects. He does know quite a few of the players in the Brazilian national team who've come through Real Madrid and come through other clubs that Carlo has been at over the years. But this is the first time Brazil has ever had a foreign manager. So it's a really interesting situation. I think they qualify. They got a little bit of stress, but not too much stress. I think they qualify, but it's a weird situation to be walking into on a year-long contract that supposedly it's a $10 million contract. And if they win the World Cup, he gets a $5 million bonus on top of it.
Yeah, that's not incentive. I don't know what is. Yeah. But I mean, even just from whatever happened into the World Cup qualifying matches from earlier to obviously with the way everything went down with Brazil, it's a nice change for Brazil. I'm interested to see how it all plays out. And I'm excited.
Number four on the headlines, Wednesday night in MLS. It is a full calendar. Just a couple games we'll be keeping an eye on while we are here in Austin. Philadelphia hosting LA Galaxy, who still have not won this season. Orlando hosting Charlotte, who is in a bit of a funk at the moment. RSL hosting Portland. San Jose hosting Miami. LAFC hosting Seattle. That might be one of the most entertaining matches of the night. And then the rivalry, St. Louis hosting Kansas City. A sneaky good Midwestern rivalry. So some big games around MLS tomorrow night. But of course, we're all going to be talking about Austin and Atlanta. You'll be able to listen to that here on the station. Quickly, three things that make us smile about the game that we love so much. Number one, we talked about it a little bit in the local side. Just the high school game and state champions being crowned. I love calling these games. I've called some of the state championship games since 2017. You started calling them last year. It's just such a cool moment for everybody involved, communities involved, the players who win, the coaches who are part of it. It's just such a special moment, and it's special to get to voice that moment.
I agree. It's a special time in those players' lives, because a lot of them, that's the last time they're playing.
Yeah.
A lot of them, that's it. Like, they're going to go to college and then they're going to move on, and that's going to be the last time they put on those cleats. And it's a cool opportunity. And I think it's a moment that not only I think they will remember, it's a moment that I love to remember too. It's such a fun atmosphere.
Number two, take it away.
Listen, mine is has to do with what's happening in Austin tomorrow night. It's the Atlanta United Unified match. I've started calling these games last year with Atlanta United, and now getting the chance to do it again this year and travel this time too. I'm so excited, and I think you feel it too from the team that they're all excited to be here as well. I had the chance to catch up with Luke Edwards on the SDH network too. first time in Austin as well. It's his first season with the Unified team too. And what a way to come into it as well, getting the chance to fly to Austin and then go international for the first time when they go to Toronto later on in the season. I'm excited for this matchup. They'll have to manage the heat as well because we're all going to be managing the heat, honestly. But it's always, I love getting to see this team, and they're searching for their first win of the season. They're also searching to continue to remain unbeaten.
Yeah, they've been unbeaten for a couple of years now. I had a chance to dap up my boy Alex Eberle. I was very happy about that. One of my favorite players that I get to
call
their games.
I feel it in my bones. He's getting something tomorrow.
Love to see a goal or an assist for Eberle. Number three, it's kind of a little bit different one. The new USA jerseys that came out today, we had seen leaks of the white one that kind of plays off of the sublimated stars and stripes kind of idea from the 1994 kits. That's pretty cool. It's the pinstripe one to me that I love. I think that's one of the best US kits they've ever had. And for me, I would put the vote down for pinstripes to be the standard look for the US national teams.
I love the kit drop. It happened this morning and I immediately was like, well,
oh, here we go.
There goes my money. Because I'm also looking at the jacket, too. The jacket they released is really nice, and I love it. I love this kit. I think I like that it's a little bit minimalistic, but it is, like, so clean and, like, just, like, nice. And I love a kit that's like that. That's kind of just, like, cool that there's not a lot going on there, but, like, there's enough where you're like, ooh, okay, like, that's nice. The jacket might be the first thing I buy, though, because I really like the little jacket you can have. And even, too, I like the pre-match warm-up kit as well, too. I think the whole line that they dropped for this year is really, really, really cool. And not only for the U.S. men's national team, but for the U.S. women's national team. Let's go. I'm excited.
Yeah, I like the look across the board. Nike and U.S. soccer did an amazing job. Okay, tomorrow, kickoff, 9:10 Eastern time between Atlanta and Austin. Pregame coverage starts at 7:30. Extended pregame as of now with Abe Gordon and John Nelson, and we'll all be chiming in here from Austin as well. Make sure you watch the Unified match afterwards, atlutd.com/live. That'll kick off about a half hour after the Atlanta United match ends. And we'll be back next week with another edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Adios, y'all.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.